Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. To another edition of Trending, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to compete while exploring the best way to wager for casual cappers. And in our first episode this week, I grinded out a very small profit while Nate Lundy put up a very round number. Zero, Lundy, in your debut here on Trending. What do you have to say for yourself?
Welcome to my world. That's what I have to say. This is what happens. Look, I've said it on the television show. I've said it on the podcast. I've said it on the Fade 5 with Brad. I have said it till I'm blue in the face. If you are a sports bettor, you have to be the human version of an Etch-a-Sketch, okay? You draw your picture. You think it looks pretty. When it all goes to hell, you shake the Etch-a-Sketch and you start over. That's how we sports bet. That's how we do it mentally. We try not to live in the past, my friend.
Well, I agree, and I think you'll probably get on a profit today, but now you got to chase. So I've seen your picks, and now you've had to put up some plus number bets in order to try to catch up. So at least you know how the game works. I look forward to you getting off the slide with at least one of the picks today, Nate.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. Has anybody ever done a week with you and just gone over for the whole week? Because maybe that's what I should be trying to do. Maybe I should be trying to do the opposite.
No, but it is perfect because the lowest total for the longest time was Brad Evans's debut.
The first show
he ever did, he set the record for low score that went unbroken for months and months and months. And so you are following your partner's footsteps. Maybe you will establish the same benchmark for us all to hope to not fall below.
I like it. I'll give it a shot. I'll see what happens. Let's hope we can get a little bit better today. Kind of mixed it up a little bit with my picks today. We're going across a number of sports.
All right. Well, we will get to those after the break. But before the break, Nate, you are someone who follows the puck very closely. And every once in a while, when we have somebody on here who loves hockey as much as you do, we like to look at the futures bets. Because, yes, you know, on a Tuesday night, anything can happen. The puck could bounce the wrong way. You can lose your bets, whatever it might be. But when you look over the long term, I want to know which bets you are favoring as we get closer and closer to the playoffs.
So I like it. Let me throw a couple out there. First of all, in full disclosure, I have a ticket from about 60 days ago that I put together in part because I had a free bet. If you've followed me a lot, you know that it's what I like to do with free bets. Brad will tell you I hate doing futures because I don't like tying up my money. I'm not a fan. But I will do it sometimes if I get awarded a free bet, because to me, that's a, you know, take a shot, see what happens and just park it somewhere and see if maybe you can help your bankroll down the road. So about 60 days ago, I put together, a parlay, for the two final teams to meet in the cup to be the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights. I just, you know, had kind of a gut feel. I'm like, well, let me kind of see where this goes. And I threw that together. And like I said, I think I was sitting on like a free $20 bet or something like that. And I figured, you know, what the hell? And part of the reason I say that that is somewhat blind is A, anything can happen, right? A goaltender gets hot. We've seen that historically. But also because you're waiting for the trade deadline. And that's what we're dealing with right now. Yesterday was an extremely active day in the NHL. Today had been another day of either talking trades or making trades or rumors going on in the league. Used to be that everything was fast and furious on trade deadline day. Now we're starting to see that happen in the weeks leading up because teams don't want to wait to where they're under the gun and they're trying to make some decisions. So I did that one earlier. I don't know how much I trust the Golden Knights and in particular what's happening between the pipes for them, but I will tell you that is a been there, done that squad. Obviously, from a championship standpoint, they've done it. And these guys are veterans. They know what they're doing. So do my Colorado Avalanche. They know what they're doing, despite the fact that they still don't have their captain in Gabe Landeskog. And the likelihood of him making it back for the playoffs is very slim. So you put all of those things together, and it's tough for me to pick somebody from a pure cup standpoint. I will tell you that I disagree completely right now with the idea of the Edmonton Oilers being the short favorites. I do not see them being being able to contain a team. I don't trust them on the blue line. Yes, I know they can score. Yes, I know what they can do with Hyman and with Draisaitl and with McDavid. I get it, but I do not trust them when it comes to their defensive pairings. And I think that there are teams in the NHL that can expose them. I'm impressed, frankly, and I know I'm biased. I know this sounds like a heart pick, but I'm really impressed with what the Avs did yesterday. I think going out and getting Mittelstadt was a big move. I think getting Walker was a big move for them, even though it means that they had to sacrifice Bo Byram, who was their fourth overall pick back in 2019. I think they recognized that they have a very crowded blue line and that it was going to be difficult for Bo Byram to, frankly, realize his potential. And so they traded him away and they got some good assets for it. So I like what the Avs did. And I really appreciate the fact that they are trying to go all in with or without the captain. That said, I continue to believe this is a pick, that about 10 days ago was negative odds. You were giving up the juice. Nathan McKinnon's on another planet right now, folks, in terms of what he's doing. And the fact that you can get him anywhere from plus 175 to plus 220 to win the Hart. Again, this is a guy that you were giving juice about a week or two ago because he was a heavy favorite. Now Austin Matthews has taken the favorite. Both of those guys, by the way, at plus odds. But I witnessed it firsthand with my own eyes. I was at the game last night between the Avs. The game that they had last night against the Red Wings here in Denver. He's got another gear. He's just got one of those things. Jerry Rice had that back in the day too, where just all of a sudden he had a sixth gear that wasn't normal, that he would just take off in. And I think McKinnon has that same thing. And I'm not trying to disparage Austin Matthews. He's a hell of a lot of fun to watch, but I would take Mac at plus odds right now to win the Hart.
Yeah, so putting some numbers behind what you're saying, Nate, over at Caesars, Mac is plus 160, Austin Matthews is plus 140, and then you've got some guys plus 300, plus 330, Kucherov and McDavid, and then everybody after that, it's a real long shot. Do you think this is now a two-skater race, or do you think that Kucherov and McDavid have any chance? Because otherwise, if you get two plus money bets and you grab both of them, then you turn a profit.
Yeah, you could wind up doing that. The thing that I could see happen with McDavid is if he goes on another one of those runs, because, you know, let's face it, when it comes to voting time, we want to say that these folks are going to analyze the whole season and all of that. But look, when it comes to voting, there is a factor of what have you done for me lately? And if all of a sudden McDavid gets hot, I could see it turn into a three-horse race. But if you look at what Austin Matthews has done since the calendar turned over to February, in terms of his scoring in particular, and that's the reason that I think that you're seeing Matthews at a shorter number than you are McKinnon is because Matthews is more of a goal scorer. McKinnon is a points guy, but he's going to do it in terms of apples. He's going to do it with assists. And you even saw that last night against Detroit. And so if it's about goals, then you got to think that that's the reason why Matthews has the short number, especially with as hot as he's been since February and certainly since the All-Star break. McKinnon's putting up points. Last night makes it 31 straight home games with a point. He has a point in every home game this season. There is only one player in history that has done that, and that's Gretzky. That's it. It's the only person who's ever gone through a season with a point in every home game. And if Mac does it, he will technically set the record because when Gretzky did it, it was only an 80-game season, not an 82.
Yeah. And I mean, I think great little tidbits like that do go into voters' minds as they can kind of anchor to something that's historical and have it sway their vote a little bit. Looking back on the team side, I have a question for you as you start to handicap the playoffs, because you ran through a bunch of teams. Colorado is plus 1,000 to hoist the cup. Vegas is plus 950. Florida is plus 750. The Oilers, who you sound like you were fading, are plus 650. When you start handicapping, what is it you look most at? Is it form over the entire season? Is it like current form for the last, you know, month before the playoffs? Or do you look more at like previous playoff experience? Because the Oilers plus 650 have obviously had this same talent base for a while now, but never seem to make any noise come when it gets a little bit warmer, come closer to the summer. And then you look at somebody like Boston, who is a juggernaut, who obviously had a huge season last year, is a chance to win the President's Cup this year, but they're all the way back at plus 1,100. So they seem to be penalized for flaming out last year, but the Oilers are not being penalized for never having really made any noise.
I think there's a few things that I'm going to look at. First and foremost, I care about goaltending. It is the single most important position on the ice, especially in the playoffs, where these teams start to play a little tighter. We see that oftentimes we see lower scoring contests. We tend to see fewer foolish penalties, things like that. You just see teams play smarter. So goaltending matters to me. And it's one of the reasons why, I'll be honest with you, it's one of the reasons why I'm nervous with my Habs. Georgiev has looked really good this season, but backup goaltending, I know Eustace Annan has back-to-back shutouts, but I mean, one of them was against the Blackhawks, and you know, the Blackhawks are Connor Bedard and a lot of nothing right now. They're going to get better, but there's not a lot to it. I mean, I'm not saying I could shut out the Blackhawks, but I'm saying a lot of goaltenders, including some in the AHL, could shut them out. So I don't put a lot of weight into it. So goaltending makes me nervous. It's why I brought up what I brought up with Vegas. Although I think if somebody gets hot, somebody can manage to get hot. I do care about playoff experience. You brought that one up. That matters to me a lot. I think there's value sitting there right now with Boston. But when you talk about the teams with the odds, look at the crowded nature of the Eastern Conference right now. As an example, we can talk about Florida, and we can talk about the Rangers, and we can talk about Boston, but it's kind of like, other than Florida jumping out a little bit, everybody's sort of hovering right around that plus 1000 plus 1100 number. So if I'm trying to handicap it, I'm looking at that. I'm also going to look at one other factor that you didn't bring up, and that is regular season. I want to see your home and road splits. I want to know that you can actually perform on the road, because that is a big time factor when we are talking about playoffs. Because, you know, you can look at the Habs right now, for example, and this is a squad that, you know, they're not going to wind up with an overall number one in the West. I don't think they're going to catch that. So now you're going to start to look at a team and say, can they win on the road? And so that is a factor that I look at big time. Goaltending is number one for me. Experience is number two. And the home road splits are third, because I believe to make a run, to be able to hoist the cup, you need to be able to win, not just once or what, you got to be able to win a couple of times on the road, because chances are you're not going to be perfect at home.
Yeah. Well, looking at the value, Nate, I mean, you talk about what it's going to look like in the playoffs. Let's focus just for one last second before we break on the rest of the regular season. So Caesars has President's Trophy winners odds up, which I found really interesting, because Florida is now the favorite versus the field. Florida has now moved to minus 120 based on their recent hot streak, but they're only 3 points up on Boston. They're only 3 points up on Vancouver. They're six up on the Rangers, but the Rangers have a game in hand. Like, this seems like there's some value in these other teams, right? Like, we're talking about only the slightest stumble from Florida opening up at plus 800 at Boston, a plus 650 at Vancouver, a plus 800 in New York. It seems like there's a good value in those to chase down Florida, who doesn't have like a prohibitive lead to make them the favorite versus everybody.
Well, and not only that, but the other thing you need to consider right now is that if you were to look at just a somewhat generic, if you will, ranking of strength of schedule. So all I'm looking at here is opponents winning percentage for the remaining games. You're talking about Boston and Florida. When it comes to most difficult remaining schedule, Boston is number five. Florida is number seven. I mean, they've got a tough remaining schedule when you look at what they are up against to try to get to that President's Trophy. So, you know, I think it's one thing to talk about where they sit right now in the standings, but you're also talking about a couple of teams that do not have an easy road to be able to get there. It's not to say that they can't, but that strength of schedule is tough for both of those teams in the Eastern Conference. Vancouver, middle of the pack. They're basically right around 14th or 15th when it comes to remaining strength of schedule. So, you know, do I think Florida can do it based on what you just talked about in terms of their recent performance, et cetera? Sure. Do I think Boston can do it? Yes. But those two teams also still have to play each other twice in the regular season. So something is going to give between those two. And they both have very difficult schedules down the stretch.
Yeah. And if they split, that's even more of an opening for Vancouver to slide through, right? So plus 650 Vancouver. You don't like tying your money up in futures, but I'm happy to tie mine up. I'm going to make that bet right after we're done here.
There you go. I mean, and again, Vancouver is middle of the pack right now when it comes to remaining strength of schedule in terms of who their opponents are, the advantages that they've got in there. I mean, they get to play Arizona twice still. They get to play the Flames twice. They've still got the Ducks on their schedule, things like that.
All right. Well, thanks, Nate. It's nice to hear from a non-Rangers fan and get some different biases here on the show. So let's go ahead and give Caesar some love and then come back with Hardhead, Heater, Cred.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, we are back, and you talked about how much you love goalkeepers because they can produce shutouts, but you are an expert in shutouts after Tuesday's show, Nate. So I'm going to go ahead and continue with the lead here, or with the honors here. And for my heart pick, I had to really, really look down into my soul, and I came out with a clear winner here. I'm going to go with the Oregon Ducks -3.5 at home against Colorado tonight at -110 at Caesars. And it's a hard pick because I deeply believe in Oregon's superiority, not just as a sports program, but also as a shining beacon of light that will help guide us through the dark fog that has settled upon our nation's consciousness. It's time that university fulfills its manifest destiny and becomes the moral, ethical, and even aesthetical center of our species as we set a course for the next 100 years, welcoming in a Pax Oregana that will be the envy of all centuries before it. The future is brighter than even the colors our saviors wear, and I, for one, welcome our duck overlords. Furthermore, I've always believed this. It's not like I would take this position after recording Tuesday's episode. That would be crazy. I'd never do that as just an attempt to put my opponent on tilt and throw him off his game for the rest of the week. Such actions would be clearly beneath me, and the mere thought of that is beneath you, Nate Lundy. So do not besmirch my family name, or we will be forced to duel. Prepare the pistols, Brett. Also, the Ducks are 12-2 at home, Colorado 2-7 on the road. Can I put you down for a tail, Lundy?
Here's the problem. I honestly debated including that pick, and I told you I can't do it because I can't bet on the Ducks. But here's what I do know. I think the spread right now is too low. And the reason for that is I think there's recency bias baked into that with the fact that CU has had some success. I think they've won four in a row, right? I think that's what Tad Boyle's squad has done. But three of those were at home. And it's as you just said, they suck on the road. They're not good. This is senior night for the Ducks. There's going to be emotion. I won't be watching, not only because I hate the Ducks, but because that is the most god-awful, ugly basketball court in the history of the universe. I don't know who decided putting the trees on the court was a good idea, but that damn thing is ugly as sin. And my guess is high as a kite on who knows what drug. Bill Walton is the only guy that enjoys that court because he can probably see little pink dragons and dancing bears when he looks out at it. It's pathetic. I can't look at that damn court. It is ugly as sin. But I will tell you this, there are small rumblings here in Colorado about whether or not Tad Boyle's seat should at least be lukewarm here in Boulder, because there is too much talent on that Colorado roster for them to be performing the way they are this season. Do I think he's in trouble? No, because he's a hell of a good coach. They like him and he's a good recruiter, but damn it, that team is underperforming. And I will admit, as much as I hate to do it about the green and yellow of Eugene, I think the Ducks may spank the Buffs tonight.
Oh, look at that. What a pro. Puts away his biases and goes ahead and backs the pick. I also love that the president of Mile High Sports is on somebody else about psychedelics right now, given the history of what's gone down in Colorado over the last decade. So
I've also spent some time in Eugene, and those weed-smoking, Birkenstock-wearing, granola-eating folks know themselves some psychedelics.
Well, I don't even think they'll need them to imagine a victory tonight, and I'm glad to have it as my heart pick. What is yours?
Speaking of the heart, let's stay in the same state, but let's drive about 45 minutes north of the night and let's go to Gill Coliseum. And I'm going to take Oregon State plus the 7.5 against Utah. Wayne Tinkle's squad, one of the best names in sports, by the way, Wayne Tinkle. I think the spread is too much. I do think that Utah can win this game, but I think Oregon State's going to keep it a lot closer than 7.5. So for example, if depending upon when you're consuming this pod, if this line shrinks to 6.5, I still like it. If it gets to 5.5, I might be a little bit nervous, but I'd likely still play it. But as of tape time, we're talking about a spread of 7.5. We're also talking about, you talked about Utah's record, or excuse me, you talked about Colorado's record on the road. Utah's the same, 2-7. They're terrible on the road. Oregon State is 11-5 at home. They're a squad that if they are making their shots, look for them to be able to pick up a victory here. Their record is really, I know this seems sort of like a John Maddenism, like I'm saying something that is sort of stupid and everybody should know. But their record at, I think it's 70 is their cutoff in terms of being able to be an above 500 team. And then there's something like 7-1 if they score 80. And they've got the opportunity to do that when you're talking about being at the friendly confines of Ralph Miller Court and Gill Coliseum. So I think 7.5 is too much for them. I'm not saying the Utes won't pick up a victory. They are a bubble team right now, sitting with, 18 wins? So they desperately need a win. But I think Oregon State shows up tonight, and at the very least, they pull the cover. So 7.5 was what I saw at tape time. Like I said, I definitely play it down to 6.5 if I start to get nervous at 5.5.
All right. Oregon, a hotbed of heart picks tonight. Playing the book size of Oregon State and Oregon. Love it.
All right. I'm good
category,
with that.
Over the head category, you're going to hear something very familiar out of me, Nate. I'm sorry to be so repetitive, but the you know what the best bets are, Nate? It's the ones that win. And I am going to play Jaylen Brown over half of the first quarter assists with Durant, as Caesars actually moved this line up Caesars moved this line up. It is now 9.5 first quarter points instead of 8.5. You put those two together, you get +191. Repeating some of the things I said on Tuesday, because this bet definitely cashed for me and is why I have the lead right now. Durant has now failed to hit this in 10 of his last 10, 19 of his last 20, 80% on the season. Jaylen Brown, 9 of his last 10, 18 of his last 20, 82% on the season. And so while I'm repeating myself, I want to win this contest. And to get this at almost 2-1 is incredible value. Plus, I'm getting the under on the game that should be non-competitive as the Suns take on the Raptors. And KG doesn't need to go out and really push himself too hard at the tip. And I'm getting the over on the game that should be extremely competitive as the Celtics and the Nuggets go head-to-head tonight. So I love the way my value lines up. I love the way the lines set up for me. And then put them together and get 2-1 seemed almost too good to be true.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I silently tailed you on the KD bet on the under 8.5 for Tuesday night. And obviously the Nuggets lost that game, but KD hit with only 6 points there in the first quarter. So I'm going to tail you on this one, my man, because you got to follow where the money is. Like I said, I quietly tailed it on Tuesday after we got done recording. And I actually went back and did the you talked about the 80% clip. KD has only gone over 8.5 once in the last 31 games.
Yeah.
1 for 31. That's the kind of stuff that gets you sent down to double A, folks, from a batting standpoint. So from a betting standpoint, we need to cash this one. So I am going to tail you on this because I think we are looking at a competitive game that you already brought up, and B, we're looking at a trend that we can't ignore. Although on Tuesday, you threw out, was it Zetterlin to not have an assist?
Oh my God.
And that man had not just one, but two apples on Tuesday night.
Yeah. And the guy I paired him with had one as well. Like I could not have missed that bet any harder than I actually did.
So I get it. I know exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. Let's stay in hoops and let's stay with a multi-legger for my head pick, for today. And I need each of these guys to get me 5 assists on the content or on the game. All right, here we go. We're talking De'Aaron Fox. Give me 5 or more assists there. Give me Jamal Murray in the contest you were talking about, the big one on the late night on TNT tonight between the Celtics and the Nuggets. And then give me Mr. Emo, Jimmy Butler, to have 5 or more assists. If all 3 of those guys can tally at least 5 assists for us this evening, it is a +113. So I snuck into positive territory with each of those guys. I won't go too crazy with all of the numbers because I think we've set the threshold low enough. But to give you an idea, Jamal Murray averages 6.8 assists in home games this year. He's also hit this number in 3 out of the last 4. On Jimmy Butler's side, you're talking about a Dallas squad that gives up 28 assists a game. That is the 7th most in the league. And I just believe he's going to wind up hitting this number. He's averaging over 7 assists a contest in his last 10 games. And then going to De'Aaron Fox, you're going up against San Antonio, who is tied with Dallas in terms of the 7th most assists allowed. And in the contest against the Spurs back on February 22nd, he had 9. If you go all the way back to November, he had 7 against this same San Antonio squad. So again, De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray, Jimmy Butler, each of them 5 or more assists +113 on that 3-legger.
Yeah, Butler makes me a little bit nervous because he can be volatile night to night until the playoffs. And so for that reason, I don't think you're quite getting enough juice for me to follow on it. But I did like the first 2 legs. And then once you're getting +113 on the Jimmy leg, then you probably are getting the right number.
Well, and if you don't trust Jimmy, I mean, we're looking at a pretty solid schedule tonight in terms of some NBA options. I know there's a couple of big time spotlight games, including the Bees and the Nuggets. So you could pick somebody else if you want to. I just went, like I said, I went and found some thresholds and I liked Jimmy. I agree with you that we can see some volatility out of him, but the fact that he's averaging 7.3 in his last 10, I'll take that.
Yeah, no, well-researched, well-reasoned. That's why it's the head pick. On the Heater side, I am going to go with another 2 teams I just think are clearly better. I usually did hockey and head, but I snuck it into the Heater today, Lundy. I don't really love the NBA lines tonight in terms of the money lines. Like I didn't see great value to pair together. And there's a chance for me to listen to the puck fans in my life who've consistently ragged on the Sharks and the Blue Jackets. So the Oilers are the cup favorites, and surely the Islanders can take care of business against the Dregs as they fight for their playoff lives. So two teams with a lot more on the line than the Sharks and the Blue Jackets. I'm getting minus 112 pairing them together. Which one of these two do you think I'm in danger of actually losing?
I don't think you're actually in danger of losing. I like both of those just because of what we're talking about. I always get nervous when I'm doing that on the road, though, just because you never know when something goofy is going to pop up. Edmonton should take care of the Blue Jackets with relative ease. The Sharks are minnows this season, so I would expect the Islanders to be able to do the same. But we've also seen, I mean, it's not like the Sharks are over, right? I mean, they're not the Detroit Lions back in the day. They've picked up some victories. They tend to happen at home when they do happen. So that's the only part that makes me nervous, but I think this is a nice solid way to be able to play two very heavy favorites tonight on the ice. Okay, for my heater, look, all right, I missed on Tuesday. I missed. I swung and missed. So did half of the Nuggets lineup for me on Tuesday. But I told you on Tuesday that what my heater was going to be for the entire week was that I was going to take the Nuggets at home and I was going to take them against the spread regardless, just because of the fact that they had been on a run. Remember, going into Tuesday, they had won six in a row and they were 5-1 against the spread. And then all of a sudden KD decides to, you know, hit a three. So he paid for us in the first quarter. He killed me in the fourth. And then the Nuggets went on to lose in the fourth quarter. Frankly, they looked like they ran out of gas. It looked to me like they used up their energy trying to get back into that game and then didn't have anything left, in the extra frame. So, but tonight they're actually catching one, against Boston. So we're going to stick with it. We're going to play it against the spread. We're going to say that they will cover that, which probably means we might as well just take them on the money line, right? I'm not looking for a, you know, 122, 121 type of finish, but I will stick with what I said on Tuesday. Cause remember, coming up on Saturday, they've got the Jazz at home. I think they'll get up for this game tonight. And in particular, I think Jokic will. I think this is one that they do pick up a victory and they manage to get another big win on national television in what a lot of people believe is a finals preview.
Nate, I got to say, I'm going to go for the jugular, being up 6.2-0. I am going to fail you on this one. I am going after it. I want to separate us, and I get a Celtics team that is not only the hottest team in the league, clearly cares about the regular season far more than basically everybody they play against every single night. And so, like, if this wasn't a finals preview and this was a finals game one in Mile High, I wouldn't touch the Celtics with a 10-foot pole. But on TNT, on a Thursday night, with a young team that is still trying to establish their place at the very, very top of the pecking order, gaining that confidence going into May and June against the team they are most likely to see come that finals time, I think they're going to really go after it tonight. I think the Nuggets still have a chance to yawn a little bit, just like they did against the Suns the other night. And I like the fact that it's basically a pick 'em and I get the C's here.
All right, I'll let you roll with that one. You watch. You already said Brad set the record. You know, just remember, records were made to be broken.
You're just the man for the job. So getting down to the two units, the final one here for cred, I was a little bit mean to you at the beginning, touting your arch enemies, Oregon, but I'm gonna give you the old compliment sandwich here, and I'm going to end it with some love. You are a Spurs fan, and I am taking the Spurs with the spread tonight, 11 points at minus 110 over at Caesars. Wemby looks like he actually has a chance to fulfill his hype, Nate, and if he's going to be a top 10-ish force in the league already, and I think he's already knocking on that door based on what we've seen out of him the last 2 to 3 weeks, the Spurs can only be so bad despite his teammates' best efforts otherwise. They're going against a Kings team that has covered 11, which is a big number for the Kings. They've covered 11 only once in the last 10 and 3 of the last 24. This is not a team that blows people out. They often get blown out, but they don't often separate on the scoreline no matter who they play. And that includes multiple matchups against the Spurs, who they played twice this year and walked away with 2 single-digit victories, both of which would allow me to cash tonight. Meanwhile, the Spurs just beat the Thunder and the Pacers and hung really tough with the Wolves. I know that they don't have the talent to actually like win every single game, but I do think they are playing hard enough. I do think Wemby is going after it right now, wants that Rookie of the Year, wants to establish himself. And I think going in, I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but I think ending the season strong and going into the Olympics in Paris, where he is going to be one of the biggest stories of the entire summer, is going to be a big deal for him. So I just pray he stays away from injury. I hope he keeps putting up these 30, 15, five block games, and that this summer he starts to make the real leap from like Curiosio to number one pick to the true face of the league.
I like your logic behind it. I get, you know, it's still a Spurs team that's not all that great, but I think the big thing for me is that this got up to double digits. And so I think you've got the right kind of cred pick here. If this were sitting at, you know, 8.5,
wouldn't touch
flat
it.
Nine, I yeah. wouldn't touch it at all. Yep. Do I think San Antonio can keep this in single digits? I do, even though it is on the road, which I told you when we were talking some hockey before, when you were talking about Edmonton and the Islanders, it's my only thing is when teams are on the road, something weird happens. You know, the chef at the hotel made some bad eggs this morning and all of a sudden you don't know what's happening, but I like the logic that you've got in this one. Look, you told me, you've pointed out many times. I think I lost count of how many times you have pointed out my dismal performance on the pod.
Certainly more than picks Tuesday. You got right. Because if I pointed out once, I'd be there.
Which means I'm chasing. So not only are we rolling with the cred where we've got two units on the line, but I'm doing it with something at plus money. And that is Nikola Jokic to go over 1.5 made threes tonight against Boston. Now, the number that is working against us in this one, he has only done this in 8 games since January 1st. We know he can make them. We've watched it, right? But he's only gone over this 8 times since January 1st. He's frequently good for one. He's not always good for two. And frankly, sometimes he's ice cold. I mean, he's had games where he goes 0-for-5. So that is somewhat working against us. On Tuesday night against the Suns, he made 4. But here's why I'm rolling with this at plus 135 money. He has done this in 5 straight games against the Celtics. He did it earlier this year. He did it in both games last season. He did it in both games the season before. 5 straight games, he has hit at least 2 triples against Boston, and I think he does it tonight. And obviously, I'm chasing. I'm definitely chasing. I got to get myself some points here on the board to be able to catch you prior to tomorrow's pod. So give me the over. Let me see him make it 6 in a row against Boston that he's drained at least 2 threes.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you have the Joker and you have Murray in your slate this game, because I think that is going to be fascinating to watch tonight, because like the Celtics kind of excel at their switchability, right? They have so many versatile defenders that can guard positions 1-5. And so watching them guard that pick and roll and see how they attack it is something I think I'm most excited about tonight. Are they going to, you know, go under a little bit? Are they going to let Joker shoot those threes? Is he going to punish them? How are they going to close out Murray? Are they just going to switch everything? In which case that we might see Joker more down in the post. Like, I don't know what we're going to see, but I am excited for 10 o'clock to come so we can find out.
And the one wrinkle I'll throw in there actually ties into why I think this pick could happen. I also think we're going to see Joker get at least 1, maybe 2 attempts up in the first quarter. And it's because if they are going to leave him out there, he needs to try to punish him so that somebody has to come out, and now they've got to change how they're doing their switching. Yeah. So I could see that being, you know, much like the NFL, right? A quarterback wants to take a deep shot because you're trying to make the secondary play real, and now you're going to open up things over the middle. I think it's the same kind of concept here in trying to force something on the outside. If he sinks one, then you turn around and Boston has to change their defense.
Yeah, I wonder what his over on first quarter threes is. I'm going to look at that once we get off the shows. I like the logic that you just laid out, even more than the 1.5, over half in the first quarter. It's probably still going to be a plus number. I'm going to go ahead and jump on that. All right,
absolutely.
Nate, I like your slate again, but I liked it on Tuesday, so I was wrong about something then, and we'll see if I'm right today. Let's go ahead and take our break, do our Second Guess Express, and get everybody on their way.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Nate, we are back, and I was holding honor, so let me turn the table back over to you. What do you have sitting on your bench that is guaranteed to hit as your starter struggle?
All right, so the one that I was debating when it came to the NBA this evening is the matchup between the T-Wolves and the Pacers. I really want to take the Pacers just on the money line, just to straight up win this one. You could lay, I think they're favored by like a point and a half.
Point and a half, yeah.
If you want to do that, feel free to go ahead and jump in on that one. I want to be able to do this because, look, the T-Wolves have actually won five straight contests against the Pacers, including spanking them earlier this year by 18. And in fact, Minnesota has not only won five straight, but they've covered against the spread in four straight against the Pacers. But as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend, because this is the first road game for the T-Wolves since before the All-Star break. The last time they played a road game was February 15th. Up in the Rose City of Portland against the Blazers. So this is the first time that they're having to hit the road in a while. So I think that the five-game winning streak, I'm throwing that out the window because I think the Pacers will be able to take advantage of a team that has just been enjoying home court and some home cooking for a while. I like the Pacers to pick up the victory. I debated throwing that one in, put together that three-legger with the assists instead on the head. But I think the winning streak the T-Wolves have had comes to an end. The Pacers pick up the victory, and Minnesota gets a loss on the road.
Yeah, I looked at this line quite a bit because it almost made its way into my slate today. Looked at Minnesota just because I thought the odds shifted a little bit too much with Cat being out. I think if Cat was playing that they would be favored by, I don't know, maybe six or seven. But with him out, they became dogs. And I'm just not sure his absence are going to hurt them so much against this particular Pacers team that that is going to try to play up tempo, going to try to, you know, kind of flood the zone with shots and things like that. That's not really Cat's game. And so rather than play either side of it, I decided to look at that Cat absence and see how Anthony Edwards might fill it. And looking at his over 36.5 points plus rebounds is -119. And I think he can hit this pretty easily in a win or a loss. So I went ahead and played this one instead of the Timberwolves money line because the Pacers are going to play with so much pace. They take a lot of outside shots, which leads to guard rebounds. There's just going to be a lot of volume of them. And then Ant, you know, doesn't have to contend with Cat's shot selection, gets more of the ball, gets more of his usage rate up, has more of a role to fill to try to put up 35 or 40 to get them a W tonight. I think he can hit this with just the points, but I liked hedging it with the rebounds for the reasons I said, because also Cat won't be there to rebound. And I think 36.5 is just right to feel confident at that -119 number.
I think you're right, because you're right. That's a number that he can hit win or lose.
Yeah. All right. Well, win or lose, we will be back tomorrow. But in the meantime, Nate, where can people hear you if they want to hear more?
You can always find me with our good friend Brad Evans on the Fade 5 podcast. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I'll be pulling double duty, doing the podcast with you, also doing a podcast with Brad, where we not only look at Friday's action, but with Brad, of course, it's all about college basketball, which means he'll have some looks to the weekend for you as well. You can find me on the X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, over at Nate Lundy as well. And you on the Twitter account, you can find a link to my free spreadsheet. You can also find that at thegamingjuice.com. I always have that spreadsheet up. It is always transparent, always free. We track our wins, our losses. Last night, we took a swift kick to the jewels. It's time for us to get back on the winning side of things this evening. Looking forward to being able to do that.
Yeah, and the Gaming Juice has a newsletter coming out with The Athletic, right, for the tournament. Didn't I see that from Brad this morning?
Yeah, Brad is going to have tournament preview content. They have partnered up with The Athletic, the Field of 68, and are going to be able to put together one of the most comprehensive analysis for the tournament that you'll find. So whether you're filling out your bracket in your office or you're making bets, that's going to be a must-have for college basketball fans.
All right. Well, if you got any time left after listening to all that Nate's got to offer, we've had another great week here at the network. A couple of minus threes have already been published with Hench earlier in the week. We also had Lemon Pepper Parlay, and extra points have already been released. And then Brett and I will be firing up the mic to talk about the beautiful game here this afternoon. Nate and I will wrap up the week tomorrow as well as our best of episode. So that should fill your dance card. Leave a little bit of space for that Celtics Nuggets game tonight. That one's going to be awesome. Look forward to talking about it with you tomorrow, Nate. And until then, enjoy the games, everyone.